Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? It wouldn't be our show without me starting it that way so that the guys could make fun of me, because that is now a trademark. We are going to probably put that one on computer file so that Nick can use it at any time. But the band is back together. Barry is back after his final, what did I call it yesterday? The Dipsticks and Doorbells tour. He got his final Dipstick and Doorbell tour out of the way, and is back joining us after a one-day hiatus in which I tried to fool Twitter by saying, breaking news, Barry's out, Nick's in for one day, as I finished the tweet. But guys like Richard were probably already out there writing his next tweet about how much he was going to not like that.
He's quick on the button, Richard.
Yeah, quick Richard at the dinner Stites. Table, he? Too. He's quick at the dinner table, too. Uh-oh. That's a different story. So, Barry, fill us in on one, your ventures of yesterday.
Sad news.
Uh-oh.
Very, very sad news. Nothing crazy happened. It was a very normal trip, normal show. I know Good you guys Lord. Are disappointed that no one violated me, that no one stole any type of virginity from any of my holes or anything. I know that disappoints you.
I'm looking for a weekend at Bernie's and I get nothing.
It was a very normal road trip.
By the way, sleeper movie, Nick, because it's probably before your time, but Weekend at Bernie's is one you want to see.
I can't say I've ever seen it.
Great flick. Just don't see the sequels. The sequels suck, but Weekend at Bernie's 1 was good.
But no, we drove 4 hours for a 1.5 hour show and then drove 4 hours back. And that was
ooh,
it.
Ooh, same
so you
day?
Didn't get violated.
Yeah. Life of a comic, man. Yeah, I had to be back for
you
the
said
show
we,
today.
By yourself? I mean, who?
Me and three other comics.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was the whole show basically was in the one car, so.
How about that car ride from hell?
What, four comics?
Trying to get a word in edgewise.
And, four comics?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. Part of the way that this works when you choose like people to go on the road with is it's people you can get along with and ride with.
So I'm out. That's cool.
And no, it's people that you know, like there's a time when everyone talks and has fun. There's also a time to just shut up and just ride. And so you kind of have
so
to
I'm
go.
So I'm out. I'd fly. Like that.
You have to. So you figure out who you work well with and who you travel with. Because sometimes it's not about going, doing a show with the funniest people. It's about doing a show that with people you get along with. Mm-hmm. And that's because that's half the ride. Dude, when you were in a car for 8.5 hours in one day to do an hour and a half show, you care way more about that 8.5 hours than you do that hour and a half show sometimes.
See, I was going to do that.
What? Ride with us?
No. Do 8.5 hours in one day.
Oh, really?
To do that Cowboy Packer game. And then my best friend's genius caused us to fly and miss the game. But that was the biggest dread was, I don't mind going 4.5, 5 hours, but I'm not a big road trip car guy. But thinking about doing 2 4.5 hour stints in one day, just
it. I mean, you kind of get used to it though in this business. You understand. Like, I do a lot of road trips with Andy Huggins, who is a original Texas Outlaw comic. Hilarious dude. Been in comedy for 30 plus years, and literally one of the best comics in this state by far. But we do a lot of road trips where we have a rule: if it's 4 hours or less, we'll come back that same night. But if it's anything over 4 hours, we'll go ahead and stay the night.
And, and 4 hours is about my threshold, too. Yeah. I don't like driving. Like, I mean, I did from here to New Orleans once, and that's six, and it was just too much.
Yep. Oh, and trying to come back that same time?
No way.
I did it to Dallas and back for the Super Bowl in 2010. And that was enough.
Yep. That's about the threshold. Four hours.
You drove both ways?
Both ways in one day. We left Sunday morning and came back after the game.
See, that's crazy. I went and I spent a week, and Dallas is without a doubt my least favorite, but yeah, I think 4 hours is a fair threshold. If you're going to go and come back in one day, obviously, like Austin and San Antonio is way more of a convenient drive.
Yeah.
Texans definitely know that, but yeah, yep. I mean, I cannot do 6 hours going and coming in one day. That's
like, I turned down a gig recently just because, I mean, with the recent transactions and me starting full-time here, I didn't want to take it too soon, but someone offered me a gig in McAllen. And I was like, I don't think I could get down there and back in a night.
That's like six, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's all the way down to the border. I was like, I can't do that.
It's rough.
Let me just wait. But that 4 hours is literally, it's the ideal threshold.
I'll tell you, too, I wasn't really smart back in the day, too, of who I allowed to drive when I made these trips to Dallas.
Yeah.
One of my buddies not only made it to Dallas, and it was for another Cowboy-Packer game, but made it to Dallas in less than 3 hours. So we were averaging well over 100 miles an hour.
Have to be.
But we stopped for gas, and we all run in to get stuff while he's filling up the tank. And there's a sign above the tank that says, essentially, it's a car wash sign, and I won't give it away yet. But we come back out, and he goes, "Fellas, why do they say, does your car look dingy?" I go, "It's dingy. It's a car wash. Your car looks dingy." And then I looked at everybody in the car and went, "And we're letting him drive at 100 miles an hour."
Yeah. Wow.
I've made better decisions in my life.
Dingy.
Yeah, dingy. So speaking of chemistry, a little yesterday.
I was going to say, I want to know, how did it go? It was Nick's debut.
Yep.
It was hosting.
It was fun.
I was worried I was going to come back without a job.
Nah, it was fun. Mario Ellie joined the show for an hour or
Close to an hour, yeah.
45 minutes, and that kind of flew by. I had a bunch of questions for him. He was real and as transparent as
he's
you
good
could.
Dude.
Yeah. And then the rest of the show just flew by, man.
The funny thing was, during a break, he was sitting over here on the other side.
Nick was you were yeah. over there. You chose that chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
yeah.
you didn't want this chair?
Yeah, he said it stunk.
Bad luck.
He said it stunk.
It stunk.
He said when he sat
the
in
chair
it,
doesn't stink.
He said if you plunge in it, that the that comes back at you is worse than bad gas.
It was the windscreen.
It was the windscreen. Yeah. Shut up.
But he's sitting there, and during a break, he goes, "Whoa." He's like, "It's a lot different when I'm behind the glass than sitting here and trying to look at the calls and trying to manage things." I'm like, "Oh, no, there's a different system when you're in here."
Because I found myself trying to do producer-like things. Because when I walked into the show, Jong told me, "Hey, I'm going to run the board, and you're going to be on the
other side." Which we didn't know going in.
Neither one of us knew.
Nice. Okay.
I thought I was going to be on this side of the glass and co-host with him. But then he's like, no, I'll run the board, and you'll be on the other side. So it just completely changed my routine.
That's badass, though, right?
Yeah, it was fun. It was real
good.
Fun. Yeah,
and I hear it went well. I hear you guys had a good show.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of, again, some of the things kind of fell in our lap. The whole, because in the morning, the whole Trey and Dre thing got going again. And
I was
going
to ask, how did the roast battle go?
Yeah.
I hated to kind of.
Yeah, and
I know
I kind of
started
Ike,
that, but I felt bad for not being here, but I thought it was going to be good. Was I wrong?
No, well, it started out really slow, but the thing is that, you know, we titled it the Valentine's Day Massacre. We got them both fired up because we played their previous morning battle with Granato, and then it just, I mean, it was like a fart in church the first round.
Really?
And I looked at Jong, and Nick was like, "Oh, no."
Oh,
and then they picked up steam, and it got pretty good. And then
who won?
Trey won.
Trey
it, hands down. It was a knockout.
Even though he stole jokes, I heard?
Well, he was trying to steal jokes. He was using us as a sounding board, trying to see if we would react, like as a precursor to using it on the air.
So is it okay to steal a joke as long as you don't do it on the air?
Nope.
He was in the hallway.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm trying to come to Trey's defense here.
Yeah,
but
if he didn't use it in the roast battle, if he didn't use it on air, then that's fine.
Okay, but I got another one
No one cares.
That was worse.
Because then it just becomes a street joke.
What was it? Was he using Reddit?
He was using Reddit
to try and come up with lines to use.
Well, producer Scott is the one who called him out on it. He's like, "Did you just get that joke from Reddit?" And I really use Reddit.
and you should have heard him backtrack. He's like,
turned red. Oh, my God.
Redder.
Yeah. Redder.
It was really red.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, and you should, again, from the standpoint of refereeing this too, after he would drill Dre, and we'd turn it back over to Dre, he'd still be, he was Trump in a debate. He was still talking.
See, you can't do that.
And he was still firing. And they were good. They were post,
you guys had post to control
bell shots, but they were good.
You guys can't allow, you can't allow punches after the bell. Nick, you know that better than anyone.
Absolutely. And it was actually the two guys. It was the two best parts, too. It was before.
You can't allow it.
Right when it started, but before it actually, the game officially started, Trey had his best jokes. And then he finished strong with like two or three jokes. And
well,
Dr. Dre on 290 just didn't have. We needed to regulate the game a little bit better.
I said because we went with your rules that you were tweeting from afar, and I said that there will be more of these where you will be involved.
Okay,
because you know you've got more experience and been through this kind of stuff before. But at least for a first kind of open mic try at a battle, I gotta say,
scale of 1 to 10, how'd it go?
Seven.
That's a good start.
I was going to say 6, but 6 and 7 is about, that's close.
Yeah, we'll go 6.5.
So 6.5?
Consensus.
That's a good start.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was very disappointed in Dre. Dre was like the El Jefe of yesterday, because Dre on a Twitter battle, and just with his creativity on tweets and texts, just top of the line. And so I was expecting a lot more from him, because on the last Twitter battle between these two, it was a really phenomenal, it was a fantastic battle. And then all of a sudden, like, I kind of sensed it before it happened. It's kind of like when you're watching a boxing match, and all of a sudden you know coming out of the corner, this guy could be done. He had that, where you have that look in your eye. Dre had that sound in his voice about after the third round, and I was like, oh, Lord, he's about to hit the canvas hard. And I gave him two chances for knockout punches to come back and try to throw the haymaker.
Yeah.
And he did the, and then he repeated Trey's poem, and I was like, oh, Dre, you're done.
It's always easier in your head than it is to pull it off. And then again, dude, that's why, I mean, it takes comics years to learn how to do that. So, but kudos to both of them for doing it and stepping up and not making it a 2. A 6.5, I'll take that first try.
And I'll say that's this. Good. If this is like regular over-the-air radio, the XM version on Twitter that followed and the fact that we were going to do like a bracket because a lot of people were chiming in and taking shots at them ended up a battle royale between Trey and Scott from Deer Park.
Uh-oh.
And it got messy, and it got personal, and it got ugly.
You can't. That's the one rule of roast battle. Like, when you're done, you got to hug. Like, you can't.
And I said
there's
that.
Everything is on the table. There's nothing that's off limits, but at the end, you got to shake hands or hug.
And man, I it's said all that. Jokes. And I said it going good, in. I said, so they're going to be done at the end. We're going to shake hands and we're going to be done. And then these two would not do that. Mm. And then, of course, I walk in today and I reference it, and Trey goes, yeah, of course, I'm done with that. I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm like,
your Trey's
too late.
Getting really good. Your Trey is getting really good.
Yeah, and he doesn't think so. But no, I mean, the thing is, I walked in, I go, you can't just draw the line by yourself. It's got to be mutual. And I think Scott from Deer Park still got a little venom in him. He was not happy.
We just got a text that said, that battle yesterday was the worst thing I dealt with all day, and my neighbor's son killed himself. That was from Chris.
Let's hope your neighbor's son did not do such a thing. But
damn,
then again,
Chris.
Hey, give us an A for effort. We're trying
here. Chris.
All right, we got plenty of show to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-ESPN on the calls and on the text. And, of course, hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock. I'm wondering if Nick's going to change his Twitter name again, because now after sitting in one of the big chairs.
The host.
Yeah.
Instead the host,
of,
Nick.
The host,
Nick, instead of the producer, Nick.
The radio host,
the host with the most, Nick.
No, I'm going to stick to the producer,
Nick. Producer,
so,
Nick.
So how did Nick do? That's the next thing we got to grade. It was his debut as a host, a full-time host, right?
Yep.
Like absolutely. A whole show.
Yep.
How did it go?
I thought he picked up steam. I thought early on he had signs of when they made me work with everybody but the janitor here for the first month I was here, where you're trying to build a chemistry and you're trying to and so during breaks he did what I did to Fred. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I'm not doing anything for you, and I'm killing you. And Fred was like, no, you're not. I'm like, well, I feel like I'm crapping the bed. And Nick was like, man, I'll do better. I said, don't think about that. You're doing great. Just do your thing.
Like, I wasn't panicking, but I was definitely thinking about
it. Yeah, you were overthinking it.
Yeah.
And then when he kind of settled in, he he found a groove, and then we were just going conversational, going back and forth, and he was good.
Mario Elliott, again, awesome. I really helped things because he made it so conversational, and Joel has a good chemistry with him because of his history, so it just kind of made things calm. But yeah,
that's good, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's really good. I like it. So now we have a built-in fill-in on this show.
And I was really, I mean, from the get-go, I was. And John and I talked about it the night before, but Mario was going to, he had the kids, but he was going to try and do 3 hours. And this was before he even said he could do one. And the minute that he couldn't do it, I was like, look, I don't want to work with anybody else than Nick. I want to give him a shot. And I know how producers are when they're climbing it, because they'd always want to be on the other side.
Yep.
And to give him the first chance to do it meant a lot to me. And then, you know, I think he killed it. I think he was good, and it'll only get better. So
that's cool. I like it.
So it was great.
Dr. Dre texted and said, I didn't have to research my jokes. All original. So
that was kind of the ammo we gave him in advance of the Rose Battle. We told him, we kind of threw Trey under the bus and said, hey, he stole a joke from Reddit.
Yeah.
We were giving him a lot of ammo. We gave him a lot of ammo pre-battle, pre-Valentine's Day Massacre. Yep. We gave him a lot of cheat notes. We gave him the cliff notes.
Yep.
And then even still, we were referencing, like, when you come out the day before on the air and let everyone know you're asexual.
Yeah, yeah.
There's ammo right there. I mean, we were giving him a lot of, like, background history just to make sure it was competitive. And I really, look, I was going to say, if I would laid my money down before the battle, I was going to give Dre a pretty good shot for a knockout because, on Twitter.
Yeah, he's pretty good on Twitter.
He's pretty damn good. And I give Trey credit. Yeah, not Josh, because he's not on line one. But El Jefe on Twitter, again, he can compete.
Screwston said you did good because you drank your cider that morning. I love those texts so much. I can't even tell you how happy those make me, because you have to really be a listener to this show to get it. And if you don't,
yes. if you don't listen to the show, you wouldn't know.
Like phenomenal.
Phenomenal. That's the best of me. Somebody said, talk about a drive. Go to Alexandria, Louisiana to San Antonio and back in a day, over 800 miles. Oh, hell no.
That's way too much.
That's way too much. Another text asked, in a 97.5 roast battle, who would be champion? My money is on Barry, AJ, or maybe Joel.
I would say you probably got the first two right. I think obviously because Barry has the most experience with it too.
Oh, don't sell AJ short. He's
no,
he's,
but I'm saying the most experience. But I can see you two guys being in the final battle. I can see Salisbury getting red in the face and just blowing up, just like tipping over the table and basically making it a physical. I really can. If not for the surgery on both wheels this year, on both knees, I can see Salisbury doing the complete table flip. I'll take your ass outside right now.
Sean was just like, I'll fight you, bro, right now. I'll fight you.
That would happen.
That's how it would end. And don't exclude Raheel.
Raheel would be in there. Yeah.
My top three would probably be that. It would be, and I hate including myself, but.
And then he's leaving me off. So that's pretty much par for the course.
Well, you just said yourself. That's why I did it.
Well, I would have fun. I mean, I think I could compete easily.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like, I'm trying to imagine. Like
I would put AJ first. Because AJ doesn't have... Here's the thing about a roast battle. You can't limit yourself and you can't filter yourself.
Well, he doesn't have a filter, I was going to
say. And even I get to a point where I'm like, well, that's just too mean. Like, that's just over the line. But not AJ. Like, AJ doesn't care.
Now, he'll deal with those details later.
And that's why I think he would win, because I would end up filtering myself and be like, well, I'm not going to make fun of this or that about him, because that's just too mean.
And then you got the logical one.
Yeah.
Who would come in with, okay, I mean, I'm not doing it, you guys, all right? Who doesn't? I've been there before and done that. I'm not doing it. I'm playing golf.
Yeah. Also, sorry, one more text. I appreciate you guys reading my text the other day about Craig Orr.
Yeah.
His fight continues, and the outpouring of support truly helps his family during this difficult time. You take care of your listeners, and I'll continue to listen whenever I can, Jared. So, yeah, no worries, man.
And we've said from the get-go.
Very sad. Very sad.
The participation factor in this show goes a long way, and we know and love the people that participate on a regular basis, with some exceptions. If you have 14 followers or less, you're not one of those people yet. But you can get there.
Dre got worked. It was embarrassing. That's a text.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick actually had to... Nick was you yesterday, right? So so Nick was monitoring the text lines.
Okay.
Nick definitely had to use the censoring filter.
Really? Yeah.
He did not do what Barry does, which is read it mid-sentence and go, yeah, so this guy said, Dre, you're a... And then I can't read the rest of that. Nick read him ahead of time and said, yeah, there's about 5 or 6 I can't read on the air.
Well, that's no way to live.
Well, it's happened to me once, and I just... Like, because someone texted in, like, how would... Will Tony Gonzalez going into the Hall of Fame as a Falcon or as some other random team? And I read the whole text. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking. I was just reading the text. So I'm like, I'm not going to read these texts unless I know 100% sure.
Yeah.
But, yep. But that's how it is.
So, with that being said, look, I mean, we had a lot of fun. And definitely you were missed. And I hate saying that, but it's true.
Thanks.
By the standpoint that, look, we're just starting to build this damn thing.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad, but it was... I had already booked it, and I couldn't back out. You know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Especially you can backdoor, but you can't back out.
Especially it being a show at an improv, I couldn't cancel that. I'm glad to be back. I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to this week.
You got your Astros shirt on. You have to be.
Bro!
And they pitchers and catchers reported last night.
That's why I wore it.
Started today.
Yeah, that's why I wore it, dude.
See the new complex,
baseball
by the way?
Baseball season is officially underway.
The West Palm Beach complex.
I have not.
Is impressive. Brand spanking new. Big old Astros logo out front.
I like it.
Lots of fields.
Have you been inside or you just seen it?
No, I saw it on the news last night. Randy McAvoy had a whole thing on it. It was pretty darn impressive. Yeah. We'll get to it. First, right now I want to talk about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program because it's a program basically run by you guys. And it's a success story because of the fact that the Houston Can Cars for Kids people, along with you, make this program successful by getting donations that you make. If you're looking around your yard, your garage, your field and back, and you see an old RV, a boat, a motorcycle, a truck, a car, it's a clunker, it's not working, or maybe it is, but you just need to get rid of it and you haven't gotten around to it, all you got to do is dial one phone number or get online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. They do the rest. They do the paperwork. They come and tow it away. They give you a great tax deduction. And then they turn it into money and resources that help kids get a second chance at getting an education in the Houston area. If that means book money, eyeglasses, bus fare, warm meals, any kind of thing that will help the kids to progress in school and keep their mind on what's most important, and that's the schoolwork, they will do it. And it's all because of Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. If you look around, you can participate and help. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Like I said, you do that, they do the rest. You come back with a great feeling in your heart knowing you helped someone in Houston and you got a great tax deduction. They do the rest because they help getting a kid through school the second chance and the second time around. So, as always, right off the car, not the kid.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 as we continue to roll on here. Pitchers and catchers reported last night for the Astros in their new brand spanking shiny facilities in West Palm Beach, Florida. Saw it on the news last night. Saw that there is multiple fields. There's rehab fields. There's state-of-the-art everything. Pretty cool setup. The Red Sox are in Fort Myers, had a really cool setup. But I saw this and thought, this might be the best minor league facilities that I've seen in MLB. And I think they deserve it. I mean, look, they are a team on the rise. Everybody is basically favoring them to be a contender for the entire season. And this was the year Sports Illustrated picked them to win it all. So timing's right on everything. And
do they? Do they, Joel?
You know what? The only thing that you and I have talked about that worries me is their starting pitching. Because there's so many guys that you have to have either snap out of a funk or prove that they're more Dallas Keuchel of 2 years ago than last year, kind of, so to speak. But other than that, I think, you know, top to bottom, the only real, I can nitpick.
Yeah.
Like it lefty out of the pen, Sip bothers me. Because, again, 2 years ago he was pretty good. Last year, not so much, and he got the new deal. But overall, I think they have the nucleus to not only compete as a contender this year, but for the next several years. And that's exciting for a city that's taken its lumps, for a city that's been tickled and teased and hasn't ever seen it finished and follow through in 20-some-odd years, pretty much. I think it's great.
Agree. But, I mean, to answer the question, even though I asked it, the Red Sox. I really think it's going to be tough to get past them.
Offensively, I'm not so sold on the Red Sox. Losing Poppy, and again, Kung Fu Panda's coming back, but Sandoval's lost like 40 pounds. With that, don't you lose a little bit of your oomph in your bat?
Yeah.
And in the American League, he just didn't seem the same hitter.
Mm.
Granted, he'd swing and miss and break his belt because he was huge, but I mean,
right.
I just think overall the Red Sox lose a big hole in the middle of their lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Poppy is going to make a difference, don't get me wrong, but I think overall that offense is scary and that pitching staff is scary.
I was going to say, on the flip side, they're starting pitching.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can find a rotation that can come close.
When they got Chris Sale, it was, to me, that was the death nail. That was like, yep, that's it right there. That's the one move that between the two teams, whoever got him was going to make them the World Series favorite, in my opinion.
So I was looking at an article.
Because, again, if the Astros had gotten Chris Sale,
yeah,
then I would be saying, Astros are the World Series favorite out of the American League, no doubt.
I was looking at an article this morning, top 10 starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And I think we can all can pretty much the consensus of the top three, Kershaw, Scherzer, and Arrieta. Then four was Kluber of Cleveland. Five, Baumgartner, who I might have had a little higher. Sale is six. Syndergaard of the Mets, seven. Price of the Red Sox, eight. To your point, when you put two of the top 10 and you put Price along with Sale at the top of the list, yes, you can put Lester with Arrieta in Chicago, and yes, they won the World Series last year, but and then Greinke was 10. But I think those two pitchers for the Red Sox, it's the reverse of the Astros. I think their offense, to me, they can hit for average. I'm just not sure that they have enough pop in that lineup like they've had for years, but their starting pitching is just fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. And speaking of top 10 list, this is one that I had for us to go over on Monday, but we didn't get to. But I found the top 10 catchers in the MLB.
And Astros have 10 now, don't they? Do they not?
Lo and behold, McCann is number 10,
yeah.
Which is something new for this team that you haven't been able to say in a really long time. And all the way back to Brad Ausmus.
Like, yeah.
Brian McCann is a legit catcher at this position, and they were talking about what he brings as far as consistency. Ninth straight year of hitting 20 home runs. That's good. Even if he doesn't get to 20, if he gets to 18, the effect that he's going to have on this pitching staff, I think, because they talked about in the article that only once since 2009 has a staff finished with an ERA over 4 under McCann as the starting catcher.
Like, I was going to say,
good news.
I asked you this question because of the buts. Because of the fact that every year you've had a catcher in Houston going back to Ausmus and maybe even before that, that you have, hey, he's good, but, or he does this well, but,
yeah.
You know, Ausmus,
calls
you know
a good
what,
game,
really
can't
good
hit.
Defensive catcher,
yeah.
But, you know, even last year, look, Castro, even that fell off, mm-hmm. where they said he was a good defensive catcher and he threw out runners and he did all these things well.
And he wasn't. Gattis was
he
throwing
didn't do
out
that,
runners better.
And the but was he still wasn't hitting.
Yep.
He had the one year where he did hit well and he was an all-star. But yeah, well, Gattis, I mean, ended up being more your, okay, for him, that's saying, you know, I made the Hall of Fame ballot.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, you can't argue any facet of McCann's game. I think the Yankees misused him a lot, and it just they were really relying on him just offensively. But you forget when he was with the Braves, great signal caller, great defensive catcher, and the pop and the average, fantastic. I think he's going to do more for this club. And look, you and I identified months ago. We were like, look, they got to do something with third, but figure out third base and who's going to be there all the time. Figure out first base, figure out catcher,
yep.
And then worry about your outfield. And the way it's all shaken out and played out, I still have questions about Reddick being a guy with pop in the outfield. But other than that, look, when we look at top 10s and lists, he's in the top 10 in right fielders or outfielders too. So, they've upgraded.
And the thing is, I'm not even worried about pop. I just want to see them cut down on strikeouts. And I know that, you know, numbers-wise and sabermetrics and all the what the hell is it called? The
analytics.
The analytics say it doesn't matter an out is an out whether you strike out or ground out, so it's not a big deal. But I tell you what, there were times when if the ball is not in play, then they can't make an error. You know what I mean? If the ball, they can't drop a pop-up or miss a grounder if you're striking out. And that's, to me, where the difference is.
Not only,
you miss out on a few runs.
Not only that, but if you put a ball in play, It could end up being a sacrifice, right, or a guy tags up and moves a base.
Because there were tons of times that
ground
they'd leave
ball
a guy
to the right
third.
Side gets a guy to shift over. You know, moves a guy up to another station to station base. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of value to be said if you don't strike out and you at least put the ball in play.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It's like the strikeouts. It affects the game because you have, all right, if there's a guy on third with one out, how many times last year did we have to sit there and watch an Astro strike out with a guy on
runners
third?
Runners in scoring position, less than two outs, yeah.
And so it's like, at least put the ball in play. That's what I want to see more from this team. The pop and everything else I think is going to be okay. It's cutting down on strikeouts that I'm excited to see if they can do that.
And it'll change the managerial philosophies too because of the fact that AJ had to look at those situations and go, I've always believed I'm not going to, he's always said, I don't have to bunt them over because my guys are going to do the right things to get them, you know, to score. He had to start reevaluating. And even when he said he would never bunt in that situation, he was thinking about, and in some cases, actually executing and putting on the play to try and bunt because of the fact that there were too many strikeouts and there were too many times they left too many guys on base when they started an inning with two hits and a runners on first and third and less than two outs and they could not score a run.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how his philosophical game management mindset, changes because of the fact that he has so much more. He should have more confidence, but he's got so much more in terms of the resource bin, in terms of guys that can do. I love bringing back Marwin because Marwin was the guy that played basically every position. He was your Mr. Goodwrench. He could play every position. He can hit from both sides of the plate. He puts the ball in play. He has a little pop, but he does. He seems like the ultimate teammate. He's the Mr. Fix-It or the role player for this team.
He's like Billy Spires that was the utility guy.
Yep. Spires outfield and infield and
He's that guy, and that those kind of guys are invaluable because if Altuve gets hurt, you can plug in Marwin and there is a significant drop off. I shouldn't say that, but it's not going from a backup second baseman. You know what I mean? Like you said, he can still put the ball in play. He still can play defense, and the same is true all over that infield. So that's a big thing as far as depth goes because this team was banged up last year, and Marwin came through and he ended up being your best first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Marwin carries a ton of value. And by the way, just to wrap up the top 10 catchers, I'll just give you the top three since we know McCann was number 10 on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Gary Sanchez of the New York Yankees, already the third best catcher of the MLB, according to this. Yeah. After, 200 at-bats?
Right. Already, taking over from McCann.
Already the third best catcher in the MLB, according to this.
That would be a bit much.
Salvador Perez at number two with the Royals.
Yachty?
And number one, Buster Posey.
Well, from an average, I can see that. But Yachty or Molina might be on the downside a little bit, but there's a guy that I would always put stock in.
In fact, they have Molina at 7.
Ooh.
Yeah,
a couple years ago, I don't think there's any question he's 1 or 2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt. No, definitely 2 behind.
By the way, the other thing that you forget with Billy Spires is we always talk about teams and who's their emergency punter. He could have come in and punted in a big situation. People don't realize he was the punter at Clemson on the football
snapper.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could do a lot. All right, so we got the Astros talk. If you guys want to join us, 713-780-ESPN. You can join us by calling 713-780-3776. You can text us, you can call the show, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and of course, Behind the Glass today, after a huge stint in front of the glass yesterday, it's the producer, Nick. We're here till 4. We're ESPN 97.5. Pray to God, justice.
This is Corey Brewer, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, Nick, the usual suspects, here till 4. I was going to ask you during the break, and then it came up. If you used your last Doorbells and Dipsticks tour to escape Valentine's Day?
No. It just so happened. I mean, it was a Valentine's show, so I had to.
So you're going to say that things. You had it planned for a long time and didn't look at the calendar and realize that it was popping up on a certain day?
No, I knew. But that's part of being a comic, man. You got to do shows on New Year's Eve. You don't get to go out and celebrate. You do shows. You do shows on Valentine's Day. You do shows.
So
when,
basically, you and your wife have a quote-unquote understanding.
Yeah. I mean, she's really cool. Dude, we've been together for, 19 years. We've been married for 12, almost 13. So I mean, we she gets it. She knows what's going on, you know?
So at least the fans at home know that Barry has an understanding.
And they totally know when you're trying to take advantage of the fact that, oh, baby, this is work. I really got to watch this game. I really got, you know, they totally know it.
That is kind of
they
true.
They totally know.
Although she's pretty cool about it. Like, she knows that she's like, oh, do you have to watch this or you're going to talk about this tomorrow? But yeah. But you have to be honest. Sometimes I'll be like, nah, we're not going to talk about this game, or nah, probably not. I don't need to watch it.
Yeah,
because then they file that in the bank, and you file that in the bank, so that when you really do want to watch one of the games, you can be like, I don't do it every time, though, babe. I don't, yeah. You know what I mean?
Because Lisa's gotten savvy to it. She's like, I get it. You have to watch this because you have to talk about it tomorrow. And then all of a sudden she'll go, can't you DVR that? And I'm like, see, but it takes away from the emotions when a big play happens. You got to capitalize on that. You got to talk about, like, when it first happened, how did you feel? What are people thinking? Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't.
Usually these excuses come up right before the football season. But, baby, I mean, yeah. NFL's about to kick off. I got, you know, my eyes got to be glued to the television during game day, you know?
Yeah.
But
your mom's exactly your right. Mom's been forgiving
yeah.
on that.
Oh, that's cold.
Nick already said yesterday that his mom was even out of town, so he didn't have anybody to get anything for Valentine's Day.
I couldn't even
Day.
Send my mom flowers. Yeah, she was overseas. Yeah.
Hey, but, speaking of sending flowers, I have to do this real quick. I have to give a shout out to Patrick on Twitter. He goes, it's prandizzle74. But my dude Patrick hooked me up yesterday because I was out of town. I wasn't here for the wifey, you know, I felt bad.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, Patrick owns a flower shop. It's called Monica's Brides and a Touch of Glitz Flowers. And you can just Google Monica's Brides on Facebook or just search Monica's Brides on Facebook. That's the easiest way. But can I tell you how much of a hero he made me look like? And that's the thing.
Till
like,
now.
That's the thing. No. That's the thing. Because I've sent flowers before from other people.
Yeah.
And then the wife has gotten in and it's like, and she'll send me pictures. And it's not always, you don't always get, like, it doesn't always look like the picture on the website.
Yeah, the biggest problem is because they'll go, did you pick this out yourself? And you want to go, yeah. And then you go, no.
Well, sometimes I'll pick it out. Like I did once. And then it looked nothing like the picture. Like everything was small and it was empty. And, you know, like they make it look. So it's been hit or miss. But, dude, my wife, I mean, I got, put it this way. I got home, I had presents on Valentine's, and I never get presents. That's how good it was.
I still don't.
You don't? No.
That was an issue. Even my daughter's teacher goes, so what did Lisa get you for Valentine's Day? I'm like, we're not broaching that.
See, and we don't usually, I mean, like, I don't always get gifts, but, and we weren't going to do anything this year, but then I thought, you know what? It would be cool. And so Patrick and Monica's Brides, it hooked it up, man. And I'm, she's sending me pictures, and all her friends are like, oh, you know, brag. And that's the best. Like, if you want your wife to be happy, it's when her girlfriends are jealous that you win. And so I got to give him a huge shout out. And if you want to support this show and support our listeners who support us, man, definitely look them up. At least on Facebook, go to Monica's Brides, and they're affordable. That's the best part. You get what you pay for sometimes, but in this case, I got way more, man. It was a great day, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm done now.
Yeah. Yeah, you're done.
So, yeah, and the other thing is supporting the friends and family part of it. But my good friend actually was in my wedding, but this is a great story in the fact that he was in my wedding, but he's also, of course, the guy that we're going to go to do the flowers for my wedding. He actually had one of my buddies who was an usher stand in the actual ceremony because he was worried that the flowers wouldn't look right at our reception and throughout the entire reception ceremony. So my boy Ben gets a shout out for me because right after I left here, I swung over to Houston Flowery on Westheimer, and they've got Houston Flowery and Village Flowery. And, you know, on Valentine's Day, they're like upside down busy. And the minute I walked in, he just dropped everything and he came over and he goes, what's Lisa's favorite flower right now? What does she need? And if, as long as you're here, you need to personally pick it out. And I'm like, you know, I normally trust, and he's got people on site that'll actually make things.
Right.
But he was like, no. This is important. We got to get this right. And so I came home, got the flowers. They got to put them in a box so they don't tip over on the way home. And I get to the driveway, and I leave them in the car purposely. And at first you can tell, you get the, oh, hey, honey. And then you look around, okay, yeah, we'll get back to the kid. And I knew that she was like, mm-hmm. And then I went, oh, you know what? I forgot to shut the garage door. And then I went out, came back in. Oh, you got me fine. And then it was like, okay, boom, gotcha. Uh-huh. And they were, yeah.
It's necessary, folks. You got to do it.
It is. Yeah. It is. And, yeah.
That and the Sherry's berries. Because if you bring the berries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
I should have done that, too. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, so, James Fimster on Twitter just said, yeah, I went to high school with the girl that runs Monica's. They're some good people. See?
There you go. Between Monica's
validation
and Houston Flowery, we got good people.
Yep. We got the hookups.
Yep. So there you go.
But you got to look out for the diamond, because I've ordered stuff for Valentine's Day, like off Amazon.
Dude.
And then you look at the picture and it's so much bigger, but you have to look at the dimensions. That's why I've learned you got to look at the dimensions. If you look at the dimensions of the box, then you'll know, okay, it's a lot smaller than the picture.
I didn't have to worry about that, thank God. A couple texts. AJ Hoffman in a roast battle definitely needs to happen. I don't even care who it's against. Just get him in there. I would agree with that. AJ pretty much just roasts people every day anyways.
He gets
even
off
in
on
the
it.
Halls. Like, yeah. Every time I see him, he's like, what's up, fatty? Like, I'm like, dude.
I will give Granato credit because he came up with Trey being Carrot Cake.
Dude, Carrot Cake is the best
That's
nickname
a great nickname.
In a really long time. Somebody said Raheel giggles at his own jokes too much to be in a roast battle.
Well, he just giggles, period, which is a problem.
Yeah. Joel kissing ass. He sounded kind of glad you were gone, Barry. Is that true, Joel?
Nick, was that true?
That's not true at all.
Is that true?
No.
Damn it, you're going to make me cry?
I should have said yes, but it wasn't true.
But it wasn't true.
I totally should have said yes. Yeah,
well,
you
after
totally
you used
should have.
After you used dimensions and I didn't jump on you, so then you can't jump on me on that.
Somebody said, who do y'all see playing DH with the addition of Carlos Beltran? Carlos Beltran will be your DH.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have Reddick in right.
Springer
in
center.
In left, and Springer in center. And then you'll see Beltran kind of switch in if they want to put
Gattis. Right.
Gattis will be backup catcher. He'll DH a little bit. Yeah. But I think Beltran will
spend a little time at first.
I doubt it.
I think just as whether it's a fill-in because of necessity, or I think there might be times just to get it. Because they're gonna struggle, I think, to find Gattis enough at bats.
I mean, he'll probably even play some left field. It's definitely going
to
be...
I thought they were going to move him simply because of the fact that he deserves to get more at-bats than he might get in this lineup now.
Yeah. Here's another good text. Strikeouts kill that lineup. Hard for a crowd to get behind strikeouts. That's a great point.
It's true.
That's such a momentum killer where you get the crowd, and even putting the ball in play, you can still be like, oh, you'll get that. You'll get that kind of...
The jeer?
Well, no, like, let's say you've got this rally going, right, and then somebody grounds out. The fans will still clap for the rally after it's over, unless you strike out. Yeah. And then everybody's just pissed, and they don't, you know
then
what I mean?
Then you hear the groan.
It's that whole moment. Yes.
Right on the third swing, and you hear, oh.
It's a total momentum killer.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the thing. The other thing, too, is if this team is as good as it's supposed to be, I just want the fans to be there as much as possible, because when you get a team like this, and it's rare, as Houston fans know, having to endure those 100 loss seasons, when you get a team that's on the upswing, that's got the potential and or the talent, and in this case, the entire package for you, I just hope fans really get out in droves and support this team, regardless if they're playing the Rays or they're playing the Yankees. You know, this is going to be a fun summer. I've got a really good feeling about this team.
Well, you know they're not going to be out there till July, right? I mean, that's just...
Well, and then after, and then of course, and then after Labor Day, there's going to be the excuse, and then you're going to have more Cubs.
So there's about July and August is baseball time,
and you're okay with that,
unless they make the playoffs. That's just a fact. Like you'll see the crowds,
but if they get out of
opening,
the gates fast,
opening day will be a madhouse.
Always is,
and then by the end of that series, it'll be you can get any ticket you want. Really,
I hope that's not the case.
And then by end of April, it won't matter. I mean, Saturdays will still be busy, Fridays and Saturdays, but the rest of the time it won't be. And then through May, June, once kind of the NBA finals end, then you'll start to see attendance really pick up.
And y'all know how I feel. Nick and I always monitor the attendance, but I really hope that's different this year. I hope because of all of the hype and all of the expectations of this team, I hope people come out early and they
continue to go late.
Because
look, the media is going to mention it. They just are. They're going to start.
But if we mention
it,
tell
you what,
it's a problem.
No, I tell you what. We're talking baseball on this show. You
no
and
doubt.
I both love this
we
sport.
We love it.
Nick likes baseball. If you like baseball, I mean, I don't know why other shows and other stations shy away from talking so much baseball, but we're going to talk baseball, man.
Right.
It's one of the three majors. We're going to talk about it.
That's because shows and other stations are too busy trying to beg sponsors back now that they're in the cellar and they can't find a way to dig their way back out. Yeah,
taking shots?
Shots were fired.
Are we returning volley?
I'm just basically stating facts. From an analytic standpoint, when your numbers are better both as a show and as a station, you don't need to worry about trying to beg sponsors back. You need to worry more about the product on the air.
Ouch.
Just that simple. Mm. Hey, we got plenty more show to go. We got one in the books. We got two to go, and we'd love you to be a part of our show. So give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's 780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.